1 Samuel chapter 15, if you would please. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. 2 weeks ago, we began the characteristic of obedience. We read 1 Samuel 15. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." I think it's interesting, by the time we get to the end of 1 Samuel, it's a sad indication that when Saul is standing before the Philistine army and knowing they are going to attack, he tries every measure to get in touch with God and eventually inquires of a witch who calls up Samuel, and Samuel says, "Why are you disquieting me?" And Saul said, "Well, I've tried every measure to get in touch with God." And he says, "Do you think I'm going to speak? If God won't talk to you, do you think I'm going to help you? Tomorrow you're going to all die. You're all going to be with me tomorrow." Because it's interesting, Samuel specifically says to him in that dialogue, "Because you couldn't obey God." We don't always see obedience as a critical thing unless we want someone to obey us, right? We think it's important our children obey us and that other people obey the laws. I'm amazed at the people who get upset about you obeying the laws when they don't want to obey them, you know, like on a road or something like that, you know. Until it's time for you to obey their laws, and then they think it's a good idea for you to obey their laws. We talked last 2 weeks ago about the authorities in obedience, parents and spiritual authorities and the laws of the land and employers and wives to obey the husbands, and we're to obey the God's word in all things, the Bible says. We talked a little bit about Saul's idea that he was above the law. He rationalized why he could disobey. He said, "I'm above the law." He looked at the situation. He said he had no other choice. Pastor Caleb preached on that a little bit Sunday morning in the 11:30 service. He said that his judgment, his own judgment, determines what is wrong, not God's. Then, of course, the classic to me in that passage is he said, "I did obey." And it's like, "Oh, wait a minute. This is what God said." And then he says again, but I did obey. It's like, what part of obedience do you actually understand? Because you did not obey. And then, of course, ultimately said it wasn't his fault. Just wasn't my fault at all. So we looked at the authorities behind the obedience. But I want us to look at, number two, the attitude behind obedience, or the correct way to obey. And we'll look at a number of things here as we move through this quickly. But first, as we look at attitude, is obedience is to be total obedience. It really should go without saying, right, that partial obedience is not really obedience. Colossians 3:20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16, "Honor thy mother and thy father and thy mother as the Lord hath commanded. Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Now, that's all those verses are particularly dealing with that one aspect of authority, which most of us aren't in that stage anymore. But we don't get to pick and choose which we will obey, nor when we will obey, nor if we'll obey. We don't get to say, "Well, I like that rule and I don't like that rule." Because if we get to do that, by the way, then people under us get to do that. They see that and they figure out, "Oh, so you get to pick and choose, then that means I get to pick and choose. And what you currently think is a dumb law, someday people underneath you are going to think it's a dumb law that you made up too." And so we have to be really careful as we work through that. So obedience is to be total obedience. But number two, obedience is to be without complaint. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." So would the all things fall under the concept of obedience? It would, since it's all things, right? But sometimes we obey, But we obey with a raunchy attitude, don't we? We know we have to do it, but we obey, if you will, kicking and screaming in the process, right? I have a statement that I use with children, but it's really not just a children's statement. It is an excellent statement overall, okay? The statement goes, obey right away with a happy heart, even when it's hard. And that leads us to the third thing. Obedience can be hard. I've heard people, and I don't think they intend to say it this way, but I've heard people say, you just obey God and everything will turn out okay. All right, time out. Yes, everything ultimately will turn out okay. But I can give you a lot of stories of people that obeyed God, and it was really, really difficult in the short term. It was not the easy choice. It got them in lots of trouble. In some cases, it got them killed, or got them put in jail, or it lost them possessions, or money, or kingdoms, or popularity, or whatever. So in the short term, obedience is not always the most popular, nor is it the most convenient. Sometimes it's really difficult. Let me give you a couple of Bible examples. Hosea chapter 1 and verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Now, I don't care how you slice that. That's a hard obey, a command to obey. Some Bible scholars believe that Hosea was told to marry a lady who would eventually commit whoredoms. Some Bible scholars believe that she was already committing whoredoms and he was supposed to marry them. I'm going to be honest with you. Either way, it's hard. It doesn't matter. That would be a hard command to obey. And why would it be a hard command to obey? Well, not only would it just be hard just by the circumstances, but it would be hard to obey because I just wouldn't understand. But God, why? Why are you asking me that? So God, you want my marriage to be a disaster so I can be an illustration to people? Now, from our human standpoint, that doesn't make sense, does it? But that's exactly what God told him to do. Hard. Hard obedience. Ezekiel chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee. This is not a tile, understand that. And portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem, and lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it. Set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. He was building a pretend army, almost like a little Lego set. It wasn't Legos. They weren't invented yet, I'm pretty sure. But you get the idea. That's what was happening. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it. And it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. Lay thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of days shalt thou lay upon it, if thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. Yeah. Thou shalt lie upon it. Thou shalt bear their iniquity. So he sets up this little scene, and he puts an iron pan, and he's laying on his side for 390 days. Again, there's some debate. Some people believe that he only had to lay there for 12 hours a day, and then he got a break for the other 12 hours a day. Number one, the Bible doesn't say that. It appears to me that he laid there. 390 days is a long time. Like a little bit over a year. And he had to cook there. Matter of fact, God had to give him special permission how to cook, because he was supposed to cook with dung. You're talking about hard. This is hard stuff that God asked him to do. And he's laying there, and the whole time he's an illustration for Israel. And if you think that was tough, when he got done with that, God said, okay, now I want you to turn on your other side, and I want you to lay and set a siege for Judah. I think that one was 40 days. I don't have that. Yes, I do. It's 40 days in my notes. He lays on his side. You're talking about bed sores and all kinds of complications? That's hard. So don't tell me that obedience is always the easy path. What about Ezekiel chapter 24, verse 16 and following? It says, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thine hand upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died, and I did in the morning as I was commanded. God said, Ezekiel, I'm going to take the most precious thing from you. And I'm going to take it today. And you're not allowed to weep. You're not allowed to even act like you're weeping. You're not allowed to put on any kind of clothing of mourning. You're not allowed to do anything that would signify that you're sorrowing at all. And the Bible said, so in the morning I spake, and in the evening my wife died, and I did as I was commanded. Don't tell me obedience is not hard. Because sometimes it is incredibly hard. Obey right away with a happy heart, even when it's hard. That's a really good statement for us. It's a really good statement for us as adults to do. But it's not just a great statement for children. It's a really great statement for us. The fact is, most of us, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt here, most of us know better than to directly disobey God. Most of us in this room know that. Well, I'm going to go out on a real limb and say all of you know that. And I would say the great majority of you doesn't want to disobey God. But I also go out on a limb and tell you that sometimes our attitude's not great in it. We're obeying, but we're obeying because we know we have to obey, not because our heart's in it, not because we have a right attitude about it. We got to be careful. Obey right away with a happy heart, even when it's hard. So how are you with this statement? Is your obedience immediate? Is it with a great attitude? Or is it a complaint of, wait a minute, God, you want me to do what? But God, that's crazy. But God, that would give a wrong view of this, and it would do this. And God, don't you think God's already figured all that out when he told you what to do? So, it's important that we understand these things. But the fourth truth about our attitude is that obedience brings sowing and reaping. Obedience brings sowing and reaping. We know the passage of Scripture in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So what kind of seeds are you planting? Let me back that up a little bit. What kind of crop do you want? What are you wanting to harvest? It's pretty simple. Whatever you want to harvest, you actually have to plant. So are you planting to the flesh and expecting to reap the spiritual? Because it doesn't work that way. It never has. It never will. One of the things that's amazing about California, particularly the place that we were in, is from the Sacramento Valley, which is a fairly large valley. If you're sitting in the middle of the valley, which one interstate we were on basically sits in the middle of the valley, if you look to your right, you can see mountains that are right at the coast. Beautiful. If you look to your left, depending on which direction you're going, north or south, if you look to your left, this particular time we were there, you could see mountains that were 7,000 and 8,000 feet, and they were still snow-capped in June. Absolutely gorgeous. And in this valley, by the way, we went from south end Lake Tahoe to Sacramento in about an hour and 50 minutes, and we changed temperature 34 degrees. 34 degrees in that hour and 50 minutes or so. But all in this valley, there's just about everything you want. Pistachios, pecans, strawberries, cantaloupe, watermelons, persimmons. I mean, you just saw sign after sign. Rice in a desert. Hello, it takes water to grow rice, in case you didn't know that. Lots of water. It's amazing. It is a fertile valley that they're growing all in here. That's what they sowed. They're sowing rice seeds. So they're reaping rice or strawberries or apricots or whatever it is. And in some cases, some of these little sapling trees, you couldn't even tell what they were yet. One field we passed, there were thousands of these little trees in there. Somebody put a lot of money into some trees, hoping for a harvest down the road. So what kind of seeds are you sowing? What kind of crop do you want to reap? You're like, well, I'm a little bit older. You can still reap a good crop if you're willing to sow good seeds now. And we have a choice to make about that when it comes to our obedience. So we see the authorities of obedience. We see the attitude of obedience. Let's look at the aim of obedience. What is the reason or the purpose of our obedience? Well, there's a couple of things that we could talk about tonight, but one would be protection. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, 1 Peter says, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In other words, when you place yourself under the authority that God has established, there comes with that a certain amount of protection. Probably one of the saddest stories in the Word of God is the story of Samson. Continuously decided that he would not place himself under God-given authorities. Whether it was his parents, that he told them what to do, get her for me to wife, for she pleases me well. Or whatever it may be, purposely hiding where he got the honey from because he knew it disobeyed God, or just flat out defying God. I'll go out like other times, and who cares? God will be with me no matter what. After all, God's promised me that he would be with me. Now, that didn't work out in the end. He was rebellious to his parents. He was rebellious to God. He almost flaunted it to the point that God finally said, all right, I've had enough. I've had enough. And so Samson ends his life, as you know, grinding in the house with his eyes plucked out. And his last wish is that he would be avenged of his eyes. Not, God, I want you to be glorified. Not, God, I'd love for your enemies to be destroyed, which is what you created me for to begin with. But, God, you avenge me of my eyes. Sad. He removed the protection by not submitting to authority. So are you under the protection of authority that God's placed in your life? You know, it's safe to be in those protections. Ladies, though you may not always like submitting to your husband, it's a safe place to be. Because when God finally, he gets out the baseball bat, it's not you that he gets after. Like, does God get out a baseball bat? Well, he may not with you, but sometimes I'm a little stubborn. And when he does, then the man gets to deal with that. And there's protection right there. You can say, okay, God, I'm going to trust the authorities that you've placed in my life. I've said that to young people multiple times. I've said, what is wrong with trusting God's authorities? Well, what if my parents are wrong? Or what if that authority is wrong? Okay, what if they are? Well, then I might miss God's will. So you're saying that God's not big enough to deal with authorities? So what you really don't believe is that the king's heart's in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will? Because I believe God can change authority. And if an authority is so stubborn against God's will, God will remove him. That's the very point of 1 Samuel 15. If Saul was stubbornly against God, so God said, fine, If you're going to fight my will, I will remove you and put a man there who can obey me. God knows how to deal with authority. It's protection. But number two, the aim of obedience, the purpose or the reason is also direction. God can give direction. Proverbs 6:20 and following, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Listen, if we really understood and obeyed these principles, we would be praying more for our authorities, that God would fill them with wisdom and keep their hearts ever in his hands and their steps would ever be in his will, and that we get the chance to follow them. I'm amazed, and I don't have anybody in mind here today. Pastor Stretch said this as well. I'm amazed the number of people who will make a decision that's supposedly a spiritual decision and never one time ask their pastor about it or even to pray about it. I'm not telling you have to get my permission to do everything. I don't want to know what color car you're buying. I really don't care, okay, in the process. That's not what I'm saying. But if God's got a critical decision for you to have, wouldn't you want someone to see it from a different standpoint and to ask the questions and so forth? That's just part of that protection that goes with that process. And that's true with all kinds of authorities. God, how do you want me to work through this? And maybe it's that, you know, there's sometimes I've asked some of my counsel and authority, and it's been like, oh, you know, I didn't think about that. That's an avenue that I hadn't even thought along those lines. And there ended up being direction and protection right there in some of that counsel. Now, there's been times, only one specific one that I can think of, where the men that I asked questions of and so forth were split right down the middle. It was like, ugh. You know, generally, almost every time I've had to make a significant decision, every one of them were in one direction. By the way, I just give you this from my standpoint. I've never gone against all that counsel. Every time that those men, parents and people, you're like, you still call your parents? Yep. I still want them involved. I still want my mother-in-law involved. She's a godly lady. When my mother-in-law says she's going to pray about something, she's going to pray about it. And that's safety in that counsel there that can take place. So did you involve your authorities when you're making decisions? Really important as we work through that. So a couple of questions here as we conclude. Have you found some obedience to be hard? Did you obey with a happy heart? Did you obey right away with a happy heart, even when it's hard? You know, those are true things for us. So, which of the three ways are hardest for you? Okay, so in other words, is it the obeying right away? Is it the obeying with a happy heart? Is it to obey when it's hard, when there's questions involved, or whatever? What is it that you struggle with specifically? Are you going to be scared to share me with me tonight? Yes, babe. Okay, so not totally obeying, all right, in every way, all right? Someone else? Brother Kevin? Sure. Correct. Yeah, there's absolutely true. There's an element in which it's always hard. I think we would make a pretty clear distinction that these examples in Scripture are harder than some other areas of obedience. But absolutely, there's a sense in which All obedience is hard because typically it's going against what we think we ought to do or what we would like to do in some cases. So, yes, John? Sure, so if you're already open to doing what God wants you to do, it certainly would be easier for you to obey in that area. I think I find when I'm open to doing something that I believe He wants me to do, and it's totally different than that thought, that it's like, oh wait a minute. Just a personal example. As the church was getting ready to transition from Pastor Shrett to me, and we were working through that process, and I didn't know yet how you were going to vote, in that process, the Lord and I just had some conversations, and I was really struggling with knowing. And I remember one particular day God said to me, but what if it's my will that you're not the pastor at Emmanuel? And I thought, okay, that's not part of the program. You know, and honestly, I got to a point where I said to God, the truth is, God, I don't want that. Now, I want your will, but that's not what I want. I don't want that to be your will. I really want to stay here. So that would be one of those situations where I had to struggle with the possibility, what if God says no? And that I really had to wrestle with that and surrender myself that, God, if it's no, then that is the very best for this situation. But that would have been really hard to move away from here and all that we love and so forth. That would have been a really difficult decision. So that would be along those lines, where I think I'm headed in a direction that I believe God wants me to, and then it's totally different than that I have to change course. What's that? Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yes. I think 96% of you voted for me, which is good. And no, I don't know who didn't vote for me. All right. So, Brother Dale, you didn't vote for me, Dale? I'm kidding. Go ahead, brother. Yeah, so giving up that piano, that was very, very important to Dale. And and God took it. I remember when Dale called me and said, I'm not sure I'll ever play the piano again. And I was like, okay, God, that can't be your will. It's like, you know, but that was something that Dale had to work through and give that to God, and God took it. And there was a time when, from all practical purposes, it looked like he was not going to ever be able to play again because God had said, nope, that's done. That's right. Good. Great. Great example there. So even for us, sometimes we work through these things in our own minds. And unfortunately, for a lot of us anyway, we do reach crossroads and it's like, okay, God, I know up here that your will is best, but man, I can't see that. I mean, that really looks like there's no way that could be that way, you know? I mean, unless Hosea was somebody really unusual, he had to have those questions in his mind. Lord, do you want me to do what? What? That... really, really amazing stuff for us. So anyway, okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, how we need it, how we need to be reminded just simply of obedience. And I find myself sometimes getting to a point where it's like, did you obey right away instead of hesitating? And so I pray that you just work, even in my heart, in this area. We need that. And we love you. In your name we pray.